culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
Thank you. Pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it.
Views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I'm just sitting there kind of scratching my head thinking here this morning about something that President John F. Kennedy said before he was assassinated in Dallas. He talked about infiltration. Infiltration. And if we'd have taken his words maybe a little bit more seriously, we would have understood what he was talking about. He said we had a foe that their main, I'm paraphrasing, their main objective, their main weapon was infiltration. That you wouldn't be able to see them operating, that they would secretly come in. Isn't it amazing that in a secular sense, he was quoting Jude, that evil men have crept in unawares? We were talking a little bit, just a shadow a little bit before the show began, about, Joe brought up the fact that, you know, it's the morality, stupid. It's the morality. There's no morality in America. There's no morality in America because there's no morality in the American public schools. And, you know, we get into this debate. They tell us that, you know, there's a separation between the church and state, and you can't pray in school, and you can't teach the Bible in school, and yada, yada, yada. So, when you hear people talk about, well, we need to do some values education, values education. Or you hear Facebook, they're the best, aren't they? Talk about Facebook's community values, their community standards. See, folks, when there is no universal standard, then what? The people do whatever they will, whatever's right in their own eyes, or do what thou wilt. If it feels good, do it. And so Joe really articulated it. It's so true that we're in the mess that we're in because we have valueless public schools. The kids have no common value. What's the common value of the public school? If you were to get out a pencil and paper and write down the values, if you would have your superintendent write the values of what are the values of whatever public school you're part of, have him write it down. You probably could go online and you could just Google search what the principal statement or whatever, and they all have this gobbledygook of tolerance and diversity and lifelong learning and all of this malarkey. And that's why teachers are able to sneak in and do their own critical race theory behind the scenes. They're able to get it in and do it. And nobody's going to stand up and speak out against it because, you know, certainly as Christians, you're not allowed to judge. We're not allowed to judge. So who are we to say what's right and what's wrong? So at the bottom of this whole thing, if this thing's ever going to be reformed, we are going to have to go back and demand biblical morality. Oh, hey, listen, Islamic morality. I don't care what it is. But the Bible, that's a joke. The Bible says, can two walk together unless they agree? How in the world can we possibly expect to have a functioning society if we can't even agree on what's right and wrong? And that's the heart of it. What's the standard of right and wrong? It was always the Bible. And in 1947, in the Everson versus the Board of Education case, Supreme Court ruled that there was a separation between the church and state, meaning morality went out the door. 1947. 1961, they threw Bible out of school. 1963, they threw prayer out of school. Maybe it was backwards. 1973, they said that a woman had a right to murder her baby, calling it choice, calling it something else. Why? Because everything was on stare decisis, previously decided decisions, and the court said, listen, I'm sorry, separation between the church and state, therefore Christianity is not the value system anymore. Okay, boom, let's get rid of the Bible, let's get rid of prayer, let's start killing babies. 1980 Stone versus Graham, let's take the Ten Commandments off the walls, we don't teach those to our kids anymore. Then we go into legalizing sodomy, then we went beyond sodomy to making it destroying marriage. You see, folks? See how it's happened? So in this reformation that we're in the midst of, and I believe there is a reformation going on, if America's ever to be saved, we're going to have to return to biblical values. We're going to have to set them as the cornerstone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. We're going to set him as truth as the chief cornerstone and teach those to our children. And I've often said to people who are atheists or whatever, I said, dude, listen, Christianity is the only thing that's going to allow you to remain alive. It's the only thing, because Christianity has it at one of its cores, the idea that every human being is created in the image of God and is a unique human being. And Christianity is what protects minorities. Christianity is what gives you the opportunity to have freedom of religion. You can't be Islamic and have freedom of religion. It doesn't work that way. So I try to appeal to the atheists, say, you dummy, you get rid of Christianity, no holes barred. And the church hasn't even realized this. See, the church hasn't fought for universal Christian values being taught in our schools. Why? What would be so hard? What would be so dangerous if we simply taught the Ten Commandments? Hey, Spencer, can you dig those up there real quick? Can you dig up the Ten Commandments? Just now, listen, I know they're in Exodus. I understand this. I just want the short version of it, Spencer, okay? If we just began once again, how about this? How about we posted the Ten Commandments in the church? Somebody give me a thumbs up on that. That'd be a good start, wouldn't it? That would be a good start.
Amen.
And so look, understand this. I want to make the Ten Commandments. If you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four are about your relationship with God, right? I'm your Lord, your God, no other gods before me. Not make yourself any graven image. Shall not take the name of the Lord, your God in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it. Those first four have to do with your relationship with Christ. But the next six, by the way, that's the way the tablets are arranged. Four on one tablet and six on the other tablet. They all have to do with your treatment of your fellow man. How could anybody object to number five? Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, or cover his wife, or his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that belongs to your neighbors. Our government is into the coveting business. That's what our government does. It teaches covetousness. So when they say there's a separation between the church and state, is there a separation between morality and state? Really? What is that standard? That's where our battle eventually is going to lie, folks. And why? Look, somebody help me here. Think about the guys in Washington, D.C. Just think about your government. You shall not murder. No. Shall not commit adultery. No. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor. Government is nothing but coveting. That's all it is. It covets your money and wants to take your money and give it to somebody else, which is stealing. It's theft, right? So till we come back to these foundation principles, see, one of the things that we need to do, Jeff Klein, is to again get the local communities and churches to reassert their authority. First of all, we ought to get rid of public schools, but the idea of a public school is to teach what the public has, the values of the public. That's the purpose of a public school. But when Washington, D.C. gets involved, they're not representing the public, they're representing something bigger. So why can't we say, for instance, one way you can get around this, Jeff Klein lives in a county where there's Fredericktown High School, Danville High School, East Knox High School, Mount Vernon High School. I might be missing another. Anyway, on the periphery, can somebody tell me why the state of Ohio can't say, you know what, we're going to make Mount Vernon High School the Christian school. That will be anybody who wants their children taught Christian values, you send them to Mount Vernon High School. And if you don't want your children, if you want your children to be taught critical race theory, then you send them to Danville High School, which, by the way, people would be dead soon if they did that in Danville. You guys picking up what I'm laying down? And see, they've told us that everybody has to be taught the same values, which I think is a good idea, but the values are valueless. They're nothing values. the humanism and secularism. And the government tells us because there's a separation between the church and state, we can't teach it in our schools. Yet they're teaching humanism in our schools. They're teaching secularism in our schools. They are indoctrinating our children in doctrines of demons. And we are told, oh, can't bring Jesus in here. Ultimately, that's if we're ever going to win, can somebody, listen, can you tell me this? Somebody give me a good straight answer. You think of all the Christians in your community and the private schools in your community, the little Christian schools, the homeschooling parents, the Catholic schools. Every one of those parents are paying property taxes and have no use of that money. You understand that? I don't want my property tax. I'm property tax is about probably about $6,000 a year, I think. But if I go look at it, it tells you on there where they send it. About 70% of it goes to the schools. So that means about $4,000 of my money goes to the schools. I don't have any kids in the schools, but the money goes to the schools and they teach values I don't even agree with. And I can't say, listen, we're going to pull our grandchildren out of the school and we're going to private educate them. And we want that money that we spent, our tax dollars, we want our tax dollars to follow our child. You shouldn't have to, folks, you shouldn't have to be digging in your pocket to pay again for education. You've already paid for it. This would not be that hard to do. And we have to break through this lie of the separation between the church and state, the separation of morality and state. And so we raise up a group of people, say, listen, okay, you can have whatever you want to. The atheist school, that's going to be Fredericktown. The atheist school, everybody who wants atheism, talk to their kids. They go to Fredericktown High School. Everybody that wants Christianity and Christian values, talk to their school children. They go to Mount Vernon High School. Well, how many people would be going to Fredericktown High School, you suppose? What percentage of the people would go there? Not many. It would be a very, very, very small school. And what would happen in Mount Vernon? They'd have to build new schools, wouldn't they? They'd have to build new schools because everybody wants their children to be taught values. Nobody wants their, no, as Jim Harrison always said, you don't have to be a Christian to not want your son to be homecoming queen, right? We want Christian values taught. We want Christian values taught, not Christianity, not that you have to, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be, not that, but those things right there, honor your father and mother, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't covet, just those five, six. What kind of society would we have if we just taught that? But when they told us there's a separation between the church and the state, morality went out the window. Look around. We have an atheistic Luciferian government determining what they're going to teach to your children and then sending Amen. You the bill. And then send you the bill.
Amen.
Folks, we got to wake up to this. This is really, 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 really serious. Really serious.
Mic drop, coach.
Thanks, Mark. It's at the heart of it, man. Go ahead, Jeff.
It's funny you're saying all this. This is what we talked about last night. Here's the scope of what we're doing. Fredericktown, about 150 people at the meeting. Mount Vernon, we had about 100 the other night. Danville, we had about 20, 25. East Knox, we had about 70. These people are livid. Now, all of a sudden, I'm in conversation with the superintendent of East Knox. I talked to him personally. I've talked to superintendent yesterday, Mount Vernon, and Steve Thompson on the board. All three Christian men. They're churchgoers. So when I went to Danville, they let me speak. And so I just blasted them in there. And I said, listen, here's the number one question I ask everybody. Is our government righteous? And they all looked at me. I said, I have never got a yes out of anybody. Everybody says no. I said, so here's the problem. And I went through a little bit of the problem there with us without the Bible. So I opened up the Bible and I read to them that he is not with me is against me. The gathering. And then I used a couple other ones. Who's going to stand up against the evildoers? And as I'm looking at these people, I'm reading these scriptures, four of them I picked out, and there's a couple of the people on the board looking at me like, one little old lady was smiling. I said, this is what we got to do. And I'm patting the Bible. I said, we got to bring this stuff back. Simple biblical stuff. It's just common sense. And so now as I'm talking to these guys, they're all like, oh, Jeff. And I said, listen, you don't understand. we're actually in your corner. Everybody's hating you. And I've told them, I said, man, you ought to hear what the people are saying about you guys. They want to lynch you from the closest tree. I understand. I said, you ought to get us in your corner. So we're working that to where, and we said that last night in the garage. What if we're the first to make this change? We
listen, folks, it is like breaking a dam.
Yeah.
Once we break the dam, they're losing, friends.
Yep.
They have power. They don't have authority. They are losing left and right.
Well, here's the statements from both superintendents. One superintendent told us at the meeting at Danville, he openly said right in front of everybody, he said, I probably shouldn't say this, but I don't want these masks on our kids either. He told him.
Well, why would he say, I probably shouldn't say this?
Yeah, and the other superintendent told me at Mount Vernon, he said, Jeff, I want that critical race theory out of our school. I said, then let's work together. Then, let us help.
Why
you.
Doesn't he say that publicly, right?
They won't.
They won't. No, they won't. I'm going to show you why here in a few minutes. God, I got a bunch of you want to jump in. Okay. Because I ain't nearly near where I want to go. Come on, Teresa, then Reggie. Come on, Reggie.
Good morning. I just want to say, you know, we need to play smarter, not harder. There's a lot of misappropriation of funds, and it's simply, we just need to demand a public audit. You can find out where all your money's going, because they're getting more, but yet our children are receiving less, and parents are supplying everything.
Well, not only that, Reggie, it's going to foolishness. They're teaching our children foolishness, right? Oh, I could go on and on and on and on that one. Come on in, Jeff, now.
Yeah, a lot of the churches in my area, they want to protect their flock. They don't want to get involved.
Yeah, well, whatever that means. Jerry.
So I got a quick acronym for you here. So when you're sitting at the table of knowledge, you eat. What is eat? Well, educators are teaching. So if educators are teaching critical race applied principles through diversity, inequality, and equality, what does that mean when it turns into an acronym? If you eat crap, you die.
Amen. And how about this? Critical race theory is rooted in humanism. That's a religious value, friends. That's a religion. Humanism is a religion. Glenn, come on in.
Yeah, I seem to recall former Buffalo Bills quarterback turned congressman Jack Kemp proposed using a voucher system where you could use your tax dollars and apply them to whatever school you want to send your child to. But, of course, that got shot down.
Because of the unions, right?
Because of the teachers' union.
Right. And so we got to understand, you know, again, I told Jeff Klein, go to the school board and ask them a very simple question. Who's pulling your strings? Who's pulling? The superintendent said, I probably shouldn't say this. Hold your ears. Why the hell not? Why shouldn't you say it? This is how I feel. And then we could say, well, sir, then why don't you do it? We want you to do that, sir. Why won't you say that? Instead, they bury the party line. We don't know why. We don't understand what's going on. It's all deception, misunderstanding, and fear, and power without authority, folks. That's what's going on. Jerry, is it Jerry? Revelation 20. I hate when you guys put those things up there, because then I'm thinking about the scripture and I can't remember who the heck the name is. Come on in.
Wes.
Come on in, Wes.
The love of money is the root of all evil. That's why those administrators won't speak up and speak out.
That's right. For sure it is. I'm going to show you something here in a second. Silver.
Coach, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We cannot forget the first four, because the final six are pointless without it.
I agree with you, Joe. I agree with you. Why can't these kids go into a Christian school and be taught these? But if we're talking about universal values, which is that's where the argument is today. Those are the universal values. Those are the universal values. Now, does Islam follow those? But if we say, listen, You can come to America and you can be, you can follow you. If you want to believe the lie of the separation between the church and state, you want to do that. Okay. You can do that. But however, you can practice your religion as freely as you want to, but you ain't murdering people and you're not allowed to commit adultery and you're not allowed to steal. We don't care what religion you are. We don't care if you don't have a religion, you ain't allowed to do those. If we're going to play in their sandbox, right? Because hey Joe, can I tell you what else is going to happen? We have to be really, really careful because now denomination and theology sets in and people begin to say, well, we don't agree with that Sabbath thing. We don't agree with that thing. And now we're fighting again over things. Can I help you out here, friends? Those first four are to be taught in your home and in your church. But the universal values are the next group. That we want even the kids who never set foot in church know that you can't steal.
Amen.
So I'm with you, Joe, to a point. We have to be, you know, I never forget one time I heard this Christian talk about corporal punishment and no teacher has the right to spank my son. I wanted to, Teresa, are you still trying to get in here, Teresa? Brett and Tammy, you can come in while Teresa's fighting her way in. Go ahead, Brett. Hello, Brett, Tammy, Teresa, in my home out there? Okay, so we'll wait for them. I got to go to the calendar real quick because I promised I would do this. I got some really good stuff here today. I've been lax. Sorry, I've been lax. There's an embattled warrior tactical preparedness training this weekend in Oklahoma. If you're interested, it's up on the screen. Saturday the 25th. Saturday, 8 o'clock to 10 p.m. All the information's there. There's an embattled warrior tactical and preparedness training in Wisconsin next weekend. There's the information right there. I've been dropping the ball. I haven't been getting behind all these, pushing all these things. But if you're in that area, get there. Scroll on down for me, please. Then there's our summit here on October 8, 9, and 10. Go and register to that. This is the Maine fall huddle. This is the Missouri Embattled Warriors fall huddle. Now, Bobby, Bobby's having the Pennsylvania Salt and Light Brigade fall huddle, which includes a trip to Gettysburg. Can you click on that, Spencer? Folks, listen, you got to check some of this stuff for yourself, okay? And so there, Bobby's, you know how hard Bobby works. We've reserved hotels up there for people to come and stay. It's in Millersburg, PA. On Friday, they're going to go to Gettysburg. They're going to go visit the battlefield. And that is, what's the date on that thing?
The 30th.
Hey, Brett's alive. All right. So folks, come on. Bobby and Brett and those guys putting a lot of time and effort and energy into this. You're out in that area. Go and join them there. Okay. Go ahead, Brett. You're in here now.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. I had to sign out. And sign
that's back all right. That's all right. That's all right.
So my wife went to the Little Millersburg School Board meeting last night, and there has been no outbreaks there whatsoever. People have been speaking up there and talking their mind a little bit, but no outbreaks. They had the state police and security there last night.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
See, so, Brett, it's what it was, a Thomas Jefferson, one of those wise guys, says when the government fears the people, there is liberty. And when the people fear the government, there's tyranny.
Amen.
Right? And so they're afraid. They're afraid. What are they afraid of? They are going against the will of the people. Will of the people. Folks, sign up for the trip to Gettysburg. Let me move on. Jack, come on in.
What you're talking about, the lack of values creates an environment of lawlessness. If you guys reach your state constitutions, I bet you'll find in there the laws governing how schools are to be funded, which they just ignore because we don't know the law and we don't know to hold them to it.
Well,
that's
Joe,
what I do at school board meetings. I read them the law, tell them that they're committing a felony, and then they vote on their budget, and we're done.
But there's no redress of grievances is the problem we run into, Jack. That's our problem. Real quickly, This is one of the best ones I've ever seen. Some of you have seen this. It says school board money. Pull that up. Remember I told you guys, go and say, who's pulling your strings? Who's pulling your strings? Spencer, you can put this at about a time and a half. This is a mother in Vandalia. I think it's Pennsylvania, although I'm not sure. Doesn't look like anything special about her. She shows up with a little bit of research, got the papers in front of her, and she slices and dices her school board. Go ahead and play. Hey, folks, listen. Ask the school board members, who's pulling your strings? Who? That superintendent, Jeff, he said, I probably shouldn't say that. See, we should have immediately said, pardon me, why shouldn't you say that? What do you mean you shouldn't say that? You believe it, but you won't say it. In other words, you agree with us, but you won't say it. Who's pulling your strings? Who's telling you you can't say it? You shouldn't say it. Well, watch this woman get to the bottom of it. Go ahead.
I'm here to ask this school board two questions. I respectfully reclaim my time for any and all of your responses. I'd first like to say I have done my research. I have your documentation from Johns Hopkins and OSHA that prove that the mask and the PPM that's being caused through the mask, which is, it's science, you know, stuff that people don't want to talk about right now, prove that they're dangerous not only to the adults who are sitting around wearing them, but most importantly to the children. I also have the letter here that was sent to the superintendent talking about the funds that the state of Illinois and the federal government were going to give them. And then I kept on searching and I kept thinking, with all this information about how dangerous these masks are, and then not to mention this experimental gene therapy they're calling a vaccine, why would this school keep doing this? So I decided to follow the money. And I went through report after report after report. And then suddenly, right there in the school letter itself, operational strategy for K through 12 schools, phase prevention, CDC, COVID-19, right here, completely against the Nuremberg Code of the United States of America. I want to ask you this question to this board. Are you in possession of or slated to receive any state, federal, or private funding and or grants from any entity on the condition of universal masking, vaccine, which I guess, again, is experimental gene therapy, or any other COVID-related protocols for staff or students in the entire Vandalia, Illinois school system? Yes or no?
Are you getting money for following these guidelines?
Yes or no question. Are you receiving any funds under those conditions or aren't you? Or are you slated to receive them if you don't have them now?
We will receive our general student aid as we comply with the rules of the Illinois State Board of Education.
Which right here says universal masking, universal vaccine coming. Right here, this is the rules you're following, and I have the letters to show it. I'd also like to inform you that I am aware that the state of Illinois received $5,054,988,054 for their COVID-related, right here. This here, county, or this here school system, just the Vandalia school system, for complete full compliance gets $750,647. And they said it's $3,946.91 per student. That same CDC paperwork right here states all students have access to learning. All students, not just the disabled who say they can't wear a mask, or not just the ones who are disenfranchised, but all students are entitled to it. Who have common sense, and then the parents who have the common sense to do their own medical research and say, no, I'm not going to do that to my kid. That's not healthy for him. We've got evidence right here. It's not healthy. We don't want to do that. And they've learned that the masks are very dangerous to them, especially children. We're told to leave school or comply. This has happened to my family, so don't tell me that it doesn't. No middle ground, no distance learning with computers, told to turn laptops back in. You can't have it. If you're not rolled, you can't have it. But you can't be rolled because you're not going to be at school. You miss another day, truancy's coming after you. You put us in a corner, and you're getting paid to mask our children. So the question I have, the second question, which obviously I've just proved to you that number one is the answer is yes. Number two, who got the money and what'd you do with it? I just walked up a sidewalk out here that's not even swept. You got $5,750 and some odd more dollars. What did you do with it and which pocket is it in? Because right now, this isn't happening. So I got one last statement for you before I go. The Nuremberg Code of the United States of America says the voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. This means that the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent, should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion, and should have sufficient knowledge and comprehension of the elements of the subject matter involved as to enable him to make an understanding and enlightened decision. Hiding $5,750,000 from us and then telling us that you're masking our children for their health is unconscionable. Again, I have just one little final statement here. Just give me one second. You are violating the U.S. Constitution of the United States. I don't care what mandate the state of Illinois gives. You are violating the rights of these children, the rights of these parents, and your own conscience. If you just pledge to that flag, you are standing against it when you do this masking, this universal stuff to get that money. I'd rather see this school in ashes than to see you sit there with your pockets full while you suffocate our children with diapers on their faces. Not only that, but I have seen these children say to me, to my face, that they're letting us wear it on our chin now. We just have to wear it on our chin. But we got to put it on when we're here. So you're teaching them to lie on top of deceiving them into doing something. We are sovereign citizens of the United States of America, and I stand with that flag and the Constitution and the Nuremberg Code that goes with it. You have no power. You have no power to usurp the right of our children or the authority that we have over our children. And because they're not old enough to speak for themselves, we stand and speak for them. Amen. We the people have had enough. You are on notice. You will all be gone if you don't change your ways right now. With that, I yield.
Amen. Wow. So listen, authority and power. Do you hear the words? Authority and power. Authority. She had them backwards, but authority and power. See, the school board, friends, works for you. You pay for your schools. I knew it was something.
Can you post that link on the chat?
We will post that link in the chat. Yes, it's a powerful one. Powerful one. So listen, I got to make another connection here just because I love y'all. Okay. Spencer, please pull up the third thing down, which says Jeffress. Robert Jeffress. You all remember this hireling, this John 10-10 guy? Pastor Robert Jeffress, there is no credible religious argument against the vaccines. 12,000 members in his church. And he comes out this week and says there is no credible religious argument against the vaccines. Now, friends, I'm not going to read it all to you. Maybe we can stick it in the chat as well. I'm just going to give you the gist of it. Here's what the guy says. Well, they use aborted baby cells in Tylenol, and they use it in Pepsi, and they use it in, he gives several different examples. And if you're not objecting to those, why would you be objecting to the vaccine? It is a gift from God that he's given. Folks, the thief cometh but to kill and to steal and to destroy. And the thief's not the devil. The thief is Pastor Robert Jeffress. Can I show you why? Why, that would be net. Click on the next one, Spencer. In fact, the ministry watch. I wonder if Jeffress took any money. I wonder if anybody want to wager a bet whether or not Pastor Jeffress took any money? Well, hey, go to the next link and see if it doesn't just pull up. Just the next one, Spencer, the next link I sent you. And see if it just doesn't, it's the same. Okay, well, go down and type in First Baptist Church, Dallas. Type it in right there. First Baptist, Dallas. Spencer needs a little bit of work on his spelling. First Baptist Church, Dallas. You have to put Dallas in. There you go, Spencer. Well, look at that. Why, he got between $2 and $5 million from the government. Unbelievable, isn't it, friends? And he's out there telling us, he's telling his 12,000 member congregation, it would be a good idea if they took that vaccine. It's a gift from God. There's no reason, there's no religious reason why you wouldn't. 12,000 people, money in his pocket. Always follow the money. Bobby, come on in, then Joe, then.
Hey, that woman was awesome. The only thing that she didn't do was overturn that table and lay hands on people, just like Jesus Christ in the temple. Now that would have been phenomenal, and I believe we're going to start seeing that. Aside from that, I just sent out a video of a lieutenant governor in Nevada that was manhandled. Rushed out the door while turning over the electric body scanner. It's a hot mess. If there's any question what these Nazi Gestapo agents in these uniforms are going to do to us,
in time like
these, now we know.
Yeah. Hey, listen, though, friends, they're losing. Trust me on this, they're losing. That's why it's getting very, very dangerous, because they are losing. I want to show you. Okay, go. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe Allen. Come on in. Then my brain's not working. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with what Bobby says. I like to see the mama bears up there. Why the mama bears? Where's the men? Where's the men at? Why ain't they up in there down there?
Hey, Joseph, because they're home looking at porn. They're home looking at porn. They have no spiritual authority. They're looking at porn. Come on, Kevin.
All right, two quick points on Jeffress. All right,
So he stood up there and said, well, Tylenol did it, so that's okay. And Pepsi did it, so that makes it okay. I thought two wrongs didn't make it right. I mean, that's the simplest lesson we learned when we were children from Christians, is that two wrongs don't make it right. But he just said it did. And my second point is, notice he's not up on that stage debating another Christian like you about the vaccines.
No.
How do you think he'd do in a debate?
Okay, now listen, friends. Jeff, I know you want to get in there. I got to show you something else here that is extremely important. I want you to watch this. Won't fill prescription. Throw that up there, Kevin. Oh yeah. Now, folks, look. Hey, put it to about the 2 minute mark, about the a minute and a half mark. Let me give you the preamble here. This guy has a medical prescription for ivermectin. Maybe it's hydroxychloroquine. One of them. He has one, right? Shows up at the local pharmacy with the. He shows up and he wants his prescription filled. Go ahead.
You know, it's a safe drug. It's actually being tested for numerous other ailments, including cancer.
Put it a time and a half if you can.
The reason for the clip is to hopefully educate you and help you if, again, you have any issues trying to get your prescription for ivermectin filled, such as I did.
Hi, is Laura calling in by chance?
Yes, she is. Do you need to speak to her?
Yeah, about the prescription.
Okay, hang on just a second. She's the one on the phone.
Okay, thanks.
Slow it down so we can hear Kevin.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, do you need my information to pull this up? It's a prescription. Okay. Okay. Do you need date of birth? 12/3/1961. It's under David Fitzpatrick. Should she have a prescription for ivermectin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is that, you're not filling this? I just want to make sure.
Right.
Okay, and is that her decision not to fill that, or is that corporation telling you guys?
I think she left a note that we were going to fill that. I don't think corporate means like a stance.
Okay, first thing I want to do is, can I forward that prescription to a pharmacy? It's Essentra, Essentra, in Marengo. If you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
Can forward that up there, number one. Can you pull up, or I'd like her to pull up, I guess. Can you show my prior order history on there?
Filled back in April?
Yeah, what was filled?
Correct, yes.
Ivermectin?
Yeah.
So you filled it then and you're not filling it now?
Right. Yeah, there's been a lot more information. I think a lot of those studies have been refuted.
Whose?
What's that?
Whose studies? Do you do this with all your drugs? I'm just curious.
There's been some merging to stop dispensing it.
Okay.
I think a lot of things are showing they should, like in vitro, which is like when they do in the lab.
Okay. You show an order on there in December for me? This would have been December of 2020? You probably don't.
I do not.
Do you have a license to practice medicine? No? But you're practicing medicine, overruling my doctor that does have a license to practice medicine? Let me tell you, December 14th was when I contracted COVID. When I came in here to pick up the prescription, I have suffered 4 months. Smell, taste, numbness in my fingers, exhaustion, extreme exhaustion, and brain fog. Hell. The first hour of taking that first medication, first dose, 100% smell and taste back for the first time in 4 freaking months.
Okay.
You're not a doctor, and you're overriding my doctor, who is a doctor and has a license to prescribe medicine, and you're saying you're not filling this. I'm going to give one more chance. You don't want to fill this because this is going to go uppers.
Yeah, yeah.
Not filling.
Okay, you can stop it.
Can I have your license number?
So you get it, right, folks? You get it. And this guy, this pharmacist comes up to him later. And filled it. He filled it. So now we've got drug companies, CVS, I think this one was, who are overruling prescriptions written by doctors. You tell me something's not going on. Another thing, hang on, stay on there with me. Because remember infiltration, that's where we started today. Did you guys see the latest, hate to tell you, General Flynn prayer? Anybody seen the latest General Flynn prayer? Pull it up there, Spence, that's Flynn prayer.
Praying to demons.
Now listen, friends. This was done. Rick Wiles, True News. I watched this. I couldn't believe it. This is just a short clip. General Flynn. I don't know. Is General Flynn Catholic? I don't know. He claims to be a Christian man. So General Flynn is invited to speak at this church, and he leads the people in prayer. Now listen. He leads them. Repeat after me. He leads them in prayer. And these mind-numbed Christians repeat after him. Want to hear? See if this. Somebody tell me if this sounds like any prayer you've ever heard anywhere with no mention of Jesus. Well, play it. Go ahead and play it, Spence.
We are your instrument of those sevenfold rays and all your archangels, all of them. We will not retreat. We will not retreat. We will stand our ground. We will not fear to speak. We will be the instrument of your will. Whatever it is. In your name. And the name of your legions. We are freeborn. And we shall remain freeborn. And we shall not be enslaved. By any foe,
by any foe.
Within or without.
So help me God.
God bless you. God bless America. Thank you very much.
Seven rays of light. The seven rays of light. I think that's what he said. Wasn't that the term? Huh? Legions. Legions. Okay. All right. I've been sitting on this one a while. Sitting on it. Pull up Greg Locke. Hey, listen, Roger, I know you don't like Greg Locke. Okay, I know you don't like Greg Locke. Some others don't. But I saw this, and I thought, dude. Right Wing Watch is the one that played it, by the way. Can't find it anyplace else, but we can find it on Right Wing Watch. Listen to Pastor Greg Locke. It's about 3 minutes. Go ahead and play that, brother.
Let me tell you something. You hear me? You hear me well. If you have any affiliation with a Masonic lodge whatsoever, you better break that wicked, demonic nonsense out of your life. I don't care if you stand. I don't care if you clap. I don't care if you throw maters and taters. I don't need your stupid secret handshake. I don't need you putting your hand inside your coat when you pledge allegiance. I'll call you out. Lickety split. I'm telling you, the Masonic Lodge is Illuminati, godless, wicked organization that has nothing to do with Jesus whatsoever. I don't care what your granddaddy told you. I don't care what your granddaddy, I'll give you 5 seconds to leave. If you get mad, I will not apologize. I'm telling you, it is Satanism. It is Satanism. It's right down at the end of Tate Lane. I ain't playing their stupid good old boy games. I ain't getting involved in that witchcraft, and that nonsense. That thing has nothing to do with Jesus whatsoever. Don't you let anybody tell you. Because here's what they'll say. Well, there's just certain things in the lodge. We can't share our secrets. We ain't got no secrets, praise God. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. Some of you need to go home. And I don't care if your granddaddy's great-granddaddy, great-granddaddy, great-great-great-granddaddy was on the ark with Noah. You need to get rid of that Masonic Bible that you got in your living room because that thing's got demonic spirits attached to it. And you ought to get rid of it and burn it in the name of God. I don't care if you clap or not. I'm telling you, you ought to separate yourself from witchcraft. That crowd, they'll threaten to kill you, do everything they can. Oh my God, I can't believe you calling out the Masons. It's a Jesus organization. I dare you to walk up in one and start talking about Jesus and see what happens. It's a sexually perverted, explicit, vile cult is exactly what the Masonic Lodge is. I ain't never preached about it like this, but I am right now because I'm feeling froggy. I'm jumping. It's straight up witchcraft. I don't care if you come back or not. I don't need your money. I don't have to have your support. We ain't got to have any more people fill up this tent. I'll empty this thing out. I'm going to preach against demonism every time I see it. It's evil as hell. It's wicked as the devil. It's nothing but full-blown Satanism. By the way, did you know you can't name a president except Trump who ain't been a Mason? Huh? Can't name one. All them bunch of devils stroking each other's egos. You ever notice why people, look, I don't even look at your cars when you came in tonight. I don't care what you got in the back of your car. If you got one of them stupid little Eastern mysticism symbols on the back, especially if you ain't a Mason, and you got one of them on the back of your car, you ought to take that nonsense off. You know why they do that? They do that to keep from getting a ticket. Because guess what? If a cop's a Mason and he pulls over a Mason, he's got an obligation not to give a Mason a ticket. You ever wonder why murderers and rapists and pedophiles and junkies get off so easily? Because if a judge is a Mason, he can't condemn and judge another Mason.
Wow, huh? Wow. Now, you know what would be really interesting to find out here? A lot of good researchers out there. Maybe you can help me tomorrow. I wonder if Robert Jeffress is a Mason. Huh? Oh, who am I going to get in here? Let me get Paul Webb in here. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, you're right on, Coach. Most of the Southern Baptists have been infiltrated by the Masons.
There you are, brother. There you are.
You know, and I go to a Southern Baptist church, so it's funny. But
somebody Google Robert Jeffress right now. See if he's a Mason. Go ahead. We'll wait. Keep on.
Like what you did a couple of years ago with the election where you had people praying at the city hall and stuff like that.
Yep.
Most of your city halls, in the bottom of the base of the building, is a Masonic symbol. So,
Lord help us.
And unfortunately, too, most of our founding fathers, many of them were Masons, too.
Amen. Amen.
So,
Come on in, Tracy. Thanks for coming yesterday. And Reggie came yesterday. And Emma came yesterday. And Mel came yesterday. And I'm going to forget somebody. Of course, Alan was already here, and Alan's wife was here, and Michelle was here, and I know I've forgotten everybody. Thanks for coming and being part of it. Go ahead, Tracy.
It was my pleasure, but a lot of people don't know my testimony
yet.
Hey,
wait
a
minute. Betty came. My goodness.
Yes, Betty.
Go ahead.
I haven't really went through it, but I don't have a lot of good men role models in my life. And it makes a lot of sense now because a lot of the ones that I've come across were Masons. Oh, my heavens. Amen. I'm speechless.
We're not allowed to talk about it, right? Not allowed to talk about it, but we're talking about it. Come on in, Mel.
Hey, good morning. I'm driving. But, I've had kind of this reoccurring idea, and it's a boots on the ground idea, but you know what? There are Masonic temples in every town. Like, there's one in my little town of Baltimore. I was driving through Somerset the other day.
Every town in Ohio.
They're everywhere. Every town that you go in, you've got that Masonic thing. So my idea for boots on the ground is let's go, to those Masonic temples with our Appeal to Heaven flags and just start drawing attention to those places. They're everywhere. I've been tempted to do it by myself, but I don't think we should probably do anything by ourselves right now. No. But I think, if we could get two or three people, it would be an easy call to action because they're everywhere.
Well, Mel, they are in every township in Ohio. Every township has a Masonic lodge, folks. You see,
I think, as I mentioned yesterday, I think the headquarters of the Masonic Temple for the whole world is in the Akron, Canton area of Ohio. Somebody can look that up, but I think that's true.
Mm. So, hey, come on. The Shriners, they get toys for children. What are you talking about, Coach? The DeMolay, right? Yeah, it's right in front of our face. We can't even see it.
All your money and power. They're Masons.
Amen. Kevin, come on in, I think. Then Debbie. I'm trying to get new voices, and then Larry, okay? Go ahead.
Thanks, Coach. I just wanted to pop in on what the general was saying. Now, I'm assuming you took issue with that prayer, what he was praying. And it was a little different assumption.
Yeah, that'd be a good assumption.
Okay, all right. So Legion stood out to you. And I know why, because, in the Bible, when Legion was mentioned, it had to do with the Legion of Demons in the demoniac, in the possessed man. But Legion itself really just means a vast host of angels, okay? A multitude mm-hmm. or a number of people or things. So, if you think about it, the Lord's angels are a legion in themselves. So I just want to point out that Legion isn't specifically
Hey, Kevin, have you watched Rick Wiles' study on this, the rest of this?
No.
Okay, well, you won't be saying that anymore then. Once you look at what Rick Wiles has to say about it, right?
Okay. Well, and just to clarify, and I'm not defending what the general said. I'm just kind of going on the words. The seven rays of light. Had you heard of that before?
No.
Okay. So I hadn't either. So I was just looking it up. And
watch Rick Wiles. He goes through it all.
I'll check it. Well, I'll tell you what. Send me the link if when you get a chance. But the seven rays of light actually has to do with archangels. It all has to do with breaking down white light into seven different rays of light that make up white light. But it does have to do with
that. Did you hear him mention the name of Jesus one time?
No, I did not.
Okay. that's all I need to know.
Yeah,
that's all I need to know.
I'm on board with you, brother.
Debbie Perkins, come on in, then Larry.
I just wanted to say on the Mason thing, I know they're not supposed to recruit, so to speak, publicly, but here in Texas on this cable station several times, not just once. The Texas Masons are advertising for members.
Mm.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, well, they're probably running short, and they know people are leaving the church, but they want to give them the fake thing. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, just a personal experience with this Shriners business. Like you mentioned, they help children. They built a hospital, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, when I was in the maintenance department of one of the big hotels here in Myrtle Beach, the Shriners reserved the hotel for staying in when they did their parade here in town, which they just had this last weekend. But and we closed off several floors of the hotel just for the Shriners. And the day before the Shriners got here, they put in and installed and let in the rooms of these Shriners dozens of prostitutes from the city of Myrtle Beach to take care of these Shriners while they were there.
Good Baptist boys, Larry. That's all there. Just good Baptist. Come on in, Kevin.
Back in the early 90s, after I had became a general manager of a motorcycle dealership, I was recruited three times to try to join the Shriners. And early in my life, even when I wasn't walking with Jesus, I had some reservation about it because I've always been a very competitive person. So I looked up to see what the Masonic Lodge was all about. And they are naive, and they are kept in the dark until as long as you're in the Blue Lodge
It's the same thing we did yesterday with the Church of Lucifer. Acts like they're Christian when you read their mission statement, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
It's all deception and infiltration.
Yes, sir.
Robert Jeffress stood beside Donald Trump, right? Whispered in his ear. Yeah. Craig, come on in, then Reggie.
Yeah, Coach, town I live in, 500 people. My point is, we got a Mason's Lodge. They stop at nothing to infiltrate, no matter how small the town. They want to be there. They want to take whatever treasure you got, your children, twist everybody, and then have that form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I'm on board with you.
All right, thanks. Thanks, sir, Craig. Come on in, Reg.
I just want to make a correction. The Seven Rays of Light is a Masonic tenant, and it's the seventh is the way. The six are six ways, but the seventh is the way, and it is a higher consciousness.
So, Reggie, are we wise to be following General Flynn?
No.
How did General Flynn get to where he is, I wonder? Huh?
Gee, Mason.
I wonder how he got there. Golly, somebody hadn't been – everybody's been in here. Let's go back to – Revelation 2015, which is I forget. Go ahead,
Wes.
Wes, I can't.
You're gonna get it one day. I promise.
All right, Wes.
Pastor Greg Locke, he's on fire, man. He's for Jesus, and he's he's the man. I agree with what he's doing. As for General Flynn, if I wasn't a Christian and looking in on what he said in that speech, I would say that the two words that come to mind are soulless and cult-like.
Amen, brother. Listen, I tell you, can I say this? Yeah, I can say this. About 8 years ago, I was at invited to a Ted Cruz rally in St. Clairsville, Ohio, Betty. And I was in there fundraiser for Ted Cruz. Rafael Cruz, his father, was there. I went out to eat with, not dropping names, I went out to eat with Rafael and a couple other guys. I was lucky enough to be invited to go out to eat with Rafael. When I was around Rafael Cruz, Ted Cruz's father, the Holy Spirit was all over that guy. I felt the Holy Spirit on Rafael Cruz. And then after dinner, when we went to the fundraiser, I got the opportunity to meet and shake hands with Ted Cruz. Let me tell you something. There was no spiritual testimony coming out of that guy at all. Now, that's a personal experience. God bless Ted Cruz. But you know, the devil comes as an angel of light, doesn't he? Angel of light. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, anybody that's ever looked in, how can any Christian be on their hands and knees with a hood over their head and noose around their neck and say they're not good, need the light of Freemasonry?
Come on, Jack. Come on, Jack.
It just flies in the face of any kind of logic.
No, they do good work, Jack. They build McDonald houses. Come on. Come on. Come on, Jeff. Come on.
You know, one of the other things that goes on, they'll tell you they can't quit because they took a blood oath.
Now, listen. I'm not going to go, Jack. I love you, Jack. I'm not going to go into rumors and speculation because I don't know. I don't know that. So I'm not going to repeat that. I do know this. That the Masonic Lodge is not Christian. I do know that. Okay. I don't know about their oaths and all that stuff. I know there's a lot of them in the Baptist. I know there's a lot of Baptist pastors. Did anybody Google Robert Jeffress for me to find out if he's a Baptist? Wouldn't have to look very far. Who am I looking at here? Jeff Klein. Been waiting a while. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, we just mentioned there about the police officers being at school board meetings. We were talking last night. We've been to 5 school board meetings in our county in the last 2 months. The presence of the police is there at every one now. 2 officers, usually. One, they threaten to arrest somebody.
Because they're there to defend the government, Jeff. They're there to defend the government. They're not there to defend the people.
The crowd stood up and told the officer no at Fredericktown. No, you're not arresting him. And our men went up and sit with him. The next one, Mount Vernon the other night, the cops, after we left to go to Danville, the cops escorted 2 of them out of there because they got crazy in Mount Vernon is what we heard after we left. We got down to Danville, the police officers there, just the police officer of Danville. Well, the same day on Monday, I had the chief of police, Dan from Danville, at my car lot speaking to me.
Yeah, but they're there to defend the government, folks. They're there to defend the government.
But what I'm saying is they didn't. Dan told me. I asked Dan, chief of police. I turned around. He was at my car lot. I turned around and put my hands behind my back. I said, Dan, see if them cuffs fit me. Dan looked at me and said, Jeff, nobody's getting arrested at Danville. And when we showed up down at Danville, the regular officer was there. When we come out of the meeting, here come Dan. The chief walked up to me. He said, look, Smond. He said, you made it. I said, we did, brother. We delivered the mail. He said, thank you.
Okay, so maybe they're good guys. Maybe they're good ones out there. Maybe they're good ones out there. But I'm going to tell you this. When somebody tells them to arrest your ass, they're going to arrest you, Jeff. I'm just telling you. That guy is working for the government.
I understand. We've been in the streets for 17 years dealing with police. There's some crooked ones.
No, they're not crooked. They're bought. They're working for the other side. It's their paycheck. Yeah, I do. I'm not arguing with you. I'm on your side.
They're not arresting us right now here in this county.
They're going to be. They're soon going to be.
I
hope they do, too. So listen, hey, Spencer, do it real quickly, Spencer. Put that Rick Wiles thing, put that in the link, in the chat, okay? You guys want to watch Rick Wiles take apart what Flynn said, that is the place to go. We're putting it in the chat right now that you can grab it and you can watch it. It's powerful. And there's some other, there's just a lot. Hey, what a time to be alive. Because we are in the midst of a great, great awakening, friends. A great awakening is going on all around us. Don't listen to the media. Don't allow yourself to get discouraged, because we, the people, are beginning to rise up. But we have to rise up, and we have to quit being ashamed and calling ourselves conservatives for Trump. And no. We are Christians, and we have had enough of it. And we are doing the ChristianRevolution.net. There is a Christian revolution going on in America, and we need to ride that horse. I'll quickly up on the screen real quick. Just a fast update. There's Dr. Sherry. Go on down, Spencer. Go down. Keep going down that page. We hired people. There's me. There's a higher brand. Look, we hired a new chief operating officer, Darren M. Coates. He's going to start running the show. Danielle Guthrie is going to be our marketing PR director. We are moving forward doing this. We've raised in the neighborhood of $400,000. Just a drop in the bucket for what we're going to do. We've hired attorneys, more than one, and we are actively engaging in the cause of Christ. Folks, share it with your friends. Share with your friends. We need more money. We need more money. We're winning. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
Amen.